Lesson 17. The All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Professional sports, long a male bastion in the United States, have been opening up to include more women. In 1997, two professional women's basketball leagues and a professional women's softball league were formed. In the 1998 Winter Olympics, women's ice hockey, snowboarding, and curling were all added to the games for the first time, as was women's wrestling for the 2004 games. This growth in women's professional sports was preceded many years ago by a women's baseball league, the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. The AAGPBL came into existence in 1943, after the United States had become embroiled in World War II. With most minor league players drafted into the service and half of the major league players in military uniform, baseball was in disarray, and the 1943 season was in doubt. Philip Wrigley, owner of the Chicago Cubs, was ruminating in his office over the situation when an idea came to him. Women were doing many of the jobs previously done only by men. Perhaps they could play professional baseball, too. Women's softball enjoyed great popularity at this time. In the Los Angeles area alone, there were more than 1,000 teams. Scouts began an intensive national search for the most talented players. From more than 100 hopefuls who came to Chicago's Wrigley Field in 1943 for tryouts, they winnowed out 60 potential players. 15 players were allocated to each of the four teams in the new league: the Racine Belles and Kenosha Comets in Wisconsin, the South Bend Blue Sox in Indiana, and the Rockford Peaches in Illinois. The players were employed by the Wrigley organization, which initially had jurisdiction over all aspects of the league until ownership of each team was given to the town for which it played. During the first season, paid attendance at AAGPBL games often exceeded 3,000, which augured well for the league's future. In addition, players' salaries were generous by the standards of the time. In 1943, the average working person's salary ranged from $10 to $20 a week. Players were making between $45 and $85 a week. In addition to playing baseball, players were required to be feminine and of high moral standing. As a result, players were directed to wear lipstick during games to make sure that their hair showed from under their baseball caps, and to wear skirts at all times when in public. Each team had a chaperone who was hired to watch over the athletes and to deliver homilies in case any of the players had the temerity to violate the rules of decorum. By 1948, the league had expanded to 10 teams, and the aggregate of ticket sales for the season topped the $1 million mark. The game got tougher over the years. In the beginning, a softball with a 12-inch circumference was thrown underhand. By 1954, pitchers were throwing a standard 9-inch hardball overhand. Base path lengths and pitching distances also increased. The level of play was extremely high. Hall of Famer Max Carey of the Pittsburgh Pirates was not engaging in hyperbole when he stated that a 1946 game between the Rockford Peaches and the Racine Belles was, barring none, even in the majors, the best game I've ever seen. The televising of men's major league games in the early 1950s caused a sharp drop-off in attendance at AAGPBL games, and by the end of the 1954 season, the league was defunct. The players went their separate ways, keeping alive the memory of those halcyon days by means of newsletters. For years, few people remembered or knew of the existence of the AAGPBL. However, in the late 1980s, Francis Jansen, a former AAGPBL player with the Fort Wayne Daisies, worked with other former league players to importune the Baseball Hall of Fame for official recognition of the league. In 1988, the Baseball Hall of Fame officially recognized the league, and in 1992, a major motion picture, A League of Their Own, depicted the life of the league and some of its dominant players.